It's Monday, March the 2nd, 2020. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, good evening, and welcome to a podcast in which I would like to actually share a recorded chapel talk that I gave last week on Thursday, the 27th of February. And the title of this was, Let's Talk About Social Identity and FOMO. And if you're not familiar with FOMO, it is the fear of missing out. Of course, I was told by our wonderful school counselor that there's also JOMO. It is the joy of missing out. So not everyone is experiencing the fear there. But in all seriousness, we have been doing a series of parent university sessions as well as chapel talks and other initiatives with our students and our faculty at our school, Cassidy School, in Oklahoma City, focused around digital citizenship for the past 4 years. This is my fifth year to be at Cassidy. And these are really important conversations. And so we are now collaborating on a team that not only includes myself, and my title this year is the Technology Integration and Innovation Specialist at our school, but also our school counselor, and then our IT manager. We don't have an IT director anymore at our school, but we have an IT manager. And so the three of us have primarily been collaborating, and so we collaborated on this presentation for both our in this case, I'm going to share with you the student presentation, but we also put together a parent presentation. So you can access the slides for this on our school's website for digital citizenship, which is just digcit.us. And if you click the link that says for students, you'll be able to access this slideshow. The same evening, last Thursday on February 27th, we also shared what I thought was the best parent university session for our parents that we've ever had. I think we had about 26, 25 participants, maybe 19 adults and 6 students. We had a panel of 4 of our high school students, juniors and seniors that were there. And so the conversation was about identity, and it was also about the ways in which social media will psychologically affect us, you know, as we see people sort of naturally present curated versions of themselves. And then social comparison theory says that, you know, we're all naturally comparing ourselves with others, especially our peers. And so this was my second chapel talk of the day. I was able to share it in the morning, a little after 8, with our middle schoolers, which are grades 5 through 8. And then we have a time for our upper school, which is grades 9 through 12, to come to chapel. That's a little bit after 10 o'clock. So this was actually my second go at this presentation. And I am also including in it the audio of a video that I shared. And this is from Common Sense Media. And if you're not familiar with Common Sense Media, they have, I think, the best resources around for digital citizenship. This is a video that they have on their site, and they title it Teen Voices, Who Are You on Social Media? And so I shared this video. I'm actually going to, the audio of this is going to sound better than it did in chapel, because I actually had a little bit of a buffering situation partway through the video, and I had to pause and restart, or it didn't have to restart, but it reloaded and I had to, you know, fast forward it a little bit. But that was nothing to do with common sense. That was just a glitch on my side. And so I'll actually polish that a little bit, so it'll set, you won't even know that it happened as you listen to the audio, unless I had just told you as I did. So I want to encourage you to check out the resources that we have related to digital citizenship on digcit.us. And I'll also do a shout out and include a link in the show notes to the curriculum pages that I'm creating, as this year I'm getting to teach 5th and 6th grade computer class, which focuses primarily on digital literacy and media literacy. And so there are a number of lesson resources there that I'll point you to as well. And we certainly end up talking about digital citizenship quite a bit in different contexts as we're having those conversations. So, without further ado, we'll go back to the St. Edward's Chapel at Cassidy School last week on Thursday, February the 27th, 2020, for this presentation for high school students called Let's Talk About Social Identity and FOMO. Well, good morning. It is a treat, actually, for me to get to visit with you all. This is my fifth year to be at Cassidy. My first year when I came, I shared a chapel talk, and this is a special time. I know that this is a voluntold situation for all of us, but it's a special time, and I hope that today, if anything, I can encourage you to think a little bit more about how you might hack your own brain, okay? Here's what I want to talk about today. Social identity and FOMO, and particularly our phones. Would anybody admit right now to experiencing FOMO without me saying anything else? You know what it is. You know you experience it. The fear of missing out. Look at all those hands. Not very many. Let me reassure you that both Ms. Clinton and I, who are going to be sharing a parent university talk with many of your parents and middle division parents tonight, our goal is to have dialogue and to better understand the world you're growing up in and that we're living in, right? I graduated from high school in 1988. Oh my gosh, it was so long ago. And my dad had one of the first cell phones in our whole community. It was this bag, right, that sat in the car and he could drive out to Western Kansas and, you know, make phone calls. It's radically different. And so the world that you're living in and the pressures that you have, you not only have the pressures that we had growing up and being teenagers and dating and all these things, you've got a lot of additional ones. And so part of our purpose in having these parent university sessions is to try and encourage all of us as adults to understand a little bit more what you're living into. Where does identity come from? How many of us have been to our favorite sports team's game, football, basketball, and we've worn the colors, right? So I grew up in an Air Force family. I moved to five different states before sixth grade. I was born in Arizona, then we moved to Alabama, then we moved to Colorado. I lived in Texas, I lived in Mississippi, and finally Kansas. So, you know, I grew up from sixth grade on wearing purple. And I used to think that my identity is mainly what I tell other people. Okay, I wear a tie, I wear a suit, sometimes. I wear, you know, purple on a Saturday in the fall. And that's what my identity is. But I have learned as I've grown that a lot of my identity is what's reflected back to me. Okay? So when I sit in a football stadium and there's lots of people wearing the same color as me, man, I feel good because I'm with my tribe. And it's a puzzling thing. That identity is not just what we try to tell the world, but it's what the world tells us. So I want to try and tell you a story, and I'm going to admit to you right now, I'm not going to do a great job of this, but the best story I've heard about identity and how it is a reflection of what we have around us is from this guy. This guy is Michael Wesch. He's a cultural anthropologist at Kansas State University. If any of you happen to go to K-State, take his class. I would love to learn from him. Cultural anthropologists study cultures and how cultures develop and what they believe and why they believe it. And so he went to a place called Papua New Guinea. Have you heard of Papua New Guinea? When he was there doing his doctoral research for months, it was basically a Stone Age culture, okay? Basically subsistence. And he thought that he would be strong in this culture in his own definition. Why do I have a picture of a snake here? It's because he told his story of one night, you know, sleeping in his cot and waking up in terror because he had this thing across his chest and he flipped out, jumped, you know, rolled out, and it was his arm that was asleep. Okay, it wasn't a snake. But there were huge snakes that were all around. And what he ended up doing and experiencing at that time was almost losing himself because there was no one else around that looked like him. There was no one else around who had experiences like him. And he almost had a breakdown. Okay? And so that story, when I heard him tell that, was really powerful because I used to think, hey, I'm gonna tell you who my identity is. But really, you help tell me who I am. And this is where social media comes in. Okay? Is social media FOMO, fear of missing out, a real thing? Well, let me give you a couple quiz questions, and we're going to watch a video. How often on the weekend do you see photos that other people have posted and you wish you were doing those things? Okay, that can be a fear of missing out. Do you feel like you need to respond on your device immediately, like 24/7, 7 days a week? Do we stay up late with our devices? Do we have friends that might respond very, very late? Maybe even regardless of the time, you know, because this is what we feel like we have to do, respond quickly. We have three kids. Our middle daughter, Sarah, is 19. She's at the University of Central Oklahoma right now studying. She took a gap year, which, by the way, is anybody thinking about a gap year? Know what I'm talking about? That's a year in between. This was a great thing for Sarah, okay? She graduated young. She took a year. She actually worked here at Cassidy in aftercare. She earned some money. It was great. And she grew up a lot. But anyway, I share this because who knows what I'm talking about when I say a curated social identity, okay? Curated meaning it's carefully selected, right? The things that are shared are done with intention. Do you think my daughter Sarah, who's 19, has a perfect life? No, she does not. Do you think anyone has a perfect life, celebrity or otherwise? They don't. But what we see on social media oftentimes gives us this idea. And so we can feel pressure because we are seeing these images and we're seeing these messages all the time. And we think we're not enough. We're not good enough. Okay? So what I'd like to do now is show you a quick video this evening in the Parent University session, which I want to invite you to come to. Invite your parents, okay? We're not going to tell them, by the way, to throw away your phone or to lock it up and never let you have it again. We're not going to tell them that, all right? We are actually going to have a panel of some of your peers. Some upper division students are going to be there sharing a little bit about what this is like in terms of social media and identity. And so this video is one of three that we're going to be looking at tonight. And as you look at this, what I want you to think about, are these issues true for you? Are they true for us here at Cassidy? How does social media and who we try to project and other people project affect who we believe we are and we think we are?
I think that social media does make people more fake.
Who's happier? Who's richer? Who appears to be the best?
I would say that it's okay to post a version of themselves that's not 100% real.
Yeah, I post things that I want other people to see.
I do think that social media has an effect on how people act in real life.
It carries a lot of weight.
I do not believe in filters, photoshopping, face tuning, none of that.
Yes, I think some people tend to obsess over their social media.
It kind of loses the meaning of what the intention of social media was, to like connect with other people.
I spend a lot of time being really careful about what I post on my main account, mostly because there's people that I don't know that well who are gonna see it. My spam account, however, is just a bunch of really terrible pictures of me.
It's okay to play a little game of pretend to, you know, show off, impress your friends.
I'm always thinking in my mind, like, for validation from other people. But at the same time, I know that none of that is really worth it in the end.
As I've grown as an individual, I don't see the likes as comments as anything important. I feel like they don't help verify me as an individual.
I start counting my likes on my post, and I realize soon enough that that was giving me anxiety. So I stopped doing that.
But now I've learned to just post them just for my memories.
When I look back on like my social media page and kind of relive these memories.
I'm also wondering if people will like enjoy the content just as much as I do. When it comes to likes, I never really think about that stuff.
I don't think I feel pressured to post certain things. I feel the opposite. I feel pressured not to post certain things.
Sometimes I can be pressured to post certain things, but I try not to because I like to be my own person. I don't like for people to tell me what to do.
I only post things that portray me as the young African-American scholar that I am. Even if that's not true all the time, that's the only thing I'm gonna post about.
They have one image of themselves, and it's not an entire picture of who they are as a person.
How I look, in how I'm portrayed in society, I'm already expected to act a certain way. So when I put myself out on social media, I really have to watch how I carry myself.
With social media or with the internet, you're able to pick and choose what people see. And it has its pros and cons.
I'm an athlete and I'm going to attend college. With that in mind, I have to pay attention to scouts. I have to pay attention to college, other colleges and teachers and other opportunities that might be coming my way.
I would say that curating your social media can be positive.
People can see the very best life that you're living, and people can see you being happy all the time.
It kind of gives you the power to be who you want to be and only let people see what you want them to see. It can turn negative really fast.
If you are constantly displaying yourself as always happy, it can create a lot of anxiety and depression, just a lot of stress.
When I post something, I'm checking it very frequently to see how it's doing compared to my other pictures. If it's not getting as many likes as my other pictures, I might delete it.
We only see the greatest moments or the happiest moments of people, and we don't know what happens beyond those moments or what they've done to get to those moments.
I think if someone's posting like fake, like Photoshop photos or like something that's not actually them, I don't think that's okay.
Models online, like sometimes they tend to promote unhealthy beauty expectations for teenagers like us, because teenagers are just trying to fit in, and sometimes these beauty expectations, they do get to us.
There are definitely photos where I've like put filters on it or like edited in some way where I look skinnier or prettier or have less freckles or whatever it is.
My friends are obsessed. Oh, how do I look with that picture? Oh, my body looks weird in that picture. I shouldn't post it. I'm like, why does it matter? There's these people who always look so perfect, and they always have the cutest lattes, and they're always traveling with the hot boyfriend, and that's all they ever post. You expect that to be your real life.
You have all these opportunities to tell people about who you are, and people tend to edit that because they want to be liked. I tend to edit that because I want to be liked.
I also definitely think it's possible to overthink it. If you just feel comfortable with yourself, I think it's okay to post what you want to post.
Not only does it affect how we are online, but it also affects how we hold ourselves and our self-importance in real life.
That person who you see living that perfect life is kind of curating what they do. So they're not showing you all of them, so don't try to live up to that very small part of their life.
All right, yay, I'm glad the video worked. So let me give you a couple other quiz questions to think about as we talk about FOMO and social media. I want to challenge you to think about how much of your identity you are letting other people tell you what it should be. Okay? How often do you feel left out because of classmates' photos that you see on social media? Has anybody seen the Taylor Swift documentary? May not admit that in chapel. Alright, and I know she's not maybe as popular as she was maybe back in the day. But like, it's a really good documentary. And she talks about how when she will go to her Instagram and she'll go to social media, it can take her to a dark place. And it would cause her to think maybe she didn't need to be eating, and maybe she needed to do things that were not so healthy. These are things that affect all of us, regardless of whether you, you know, are a celebrity or you're, you know, in ninth grade at Cassidy School. How much is your identity affected by likes? Does anyone know someone? I won't say this is for you, but do you know someone who has deleted pictures because it didn't get enough likes? You know anybody who's done that? Okay. It happens, right? How do you feel when you're away from your phone? I mean, I feel naked. I feel like I'm not complete. I'm like, what? Where is it? It's not here. You know, I get kind of scared. And so there's a thing called social comparison theory in psychology. And Ms. Clinton is going to talk a little more about this tonight. I mean, we're always comparing ourselves to each other, right? But the challenge is now we're seeing this curated photographic stream of images from not only people here at our school, but other people, celebrities, and it makes it harder than ever. So these are some of the things we're going to encourage your parents to do tonight, to be open to your changing identity. Does anybody here know exactly what they're going to do when they're 25? Okay? Some people are raising hands. Okay, I hope so. I thought I did, but it turned out I ended up doing some different things. You are figuring out today who you are. And that is a process that's going to continue. And so as adults, one of our opportunities and challenges is to be open as you put on different versions of yourself. Okay? And we want your parents to talk to you about this stuff. What was yesterday? Why was it a special day? It was Ash Wednesday, right? And did you know that God created you in His image? You are beautifully and perfectly created. And no matter how many images you see of other people who look like they're more beautiful, who look like they're living a better life, it is so important for you to remember the beautiful person that you are created to be, and that you're enough as you are. And this is where hacking your own brain comes in, right? Because how many of us can have negative thoughts when we see pictures, when we feel like we're missing out, when other people are doing things or portraying themselves, and we're like, man, that's not my life. I bet we all need breaks from this, right? In fact, yesterday, Pope Francis, the Pope, talked about how we need to disconnect and connect to the gospel. Disconnect from, you know, harmful things that we might be seeing and hearing, and connecting to the gospel. And so, if you go on Instagram right now, you look for the word hashtag Bibleverse, there's 4.1 million posts that are there. I've been using this hashtag, which it stands for Digital Witness for Jesus Christ, for the past few years. There's 507 posts that I've shared over the last few years that are all Bible verses put with pictures. Why do I do that? Well, it's in part because I want to put those words of Scripture in my heart. And if I don't put them into my feed, what happens when you follow a hashtag on Instagram? What's going to happen? You're going to start to see those pictures, right? You're training it that those are things that you want to see in your feed. So, here's my last two thoughts. Number one, please invite your parents to come tonight. Please consider coming tonight. We can see what our student panelists are going to share. I'm so excited because this opportunity, like, I know some things about technology, but I don't know a whole lot about what it's like to be a teenager right now at Cassidy School with social media. You all do. And so this is going to be a conversation that we're going to have together this afternoon or this evening at 6:30 in the Middle Division Community Room. I want to also invite you all to follow up with Ms. Clinton, right? Ms. Clinton, we're so excited that she's here as our Upper Division Counselor, and she's here as a resource, not just for events and chapel talks, but for things that we need that come up. Okay, and here's my last thought. You're enough, okay? You are enough. Don't let other people hack your brain to make you feel or think otherwise. This is a challenge we all face because we are surrounded with more media than any generation ever in human history. We're advertised to more. And so remember that you are not the sum of likes or what anybody else is going to say. Your identity is separate, and you are enough. Thanks.
Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.